Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
So for this week's chat with Julie Bauke, we're focusing on Gen X employees. And this is a really interesting topic because a lot of the times, and I see this to be honest, you know, you'll see a lot of the times where the different generations, how they respond to the workforce. And let me be clear, we are talking Gen X, not Gen Z. Okay, so before everybody starts to go, oh, they're so lazy. Stop. First of all, stop saying that. It's just a different way of doing life. It is. We're talking about the generation between the boomers and me, the millennials. Okay, so Gen X, apparently the employees are saying they are so burned out, but you may be surprised by what? Caregiver responsibilities. This is a really important topic, Julie, and I don't think you and I have ever talked about kind of bringing this into the equation, caregiving responsibilities and the demands, how that inevitably will then spill over into your work life or your career choices. This is a really important topic, actually.
It is, and it's fine. It's time we start talking about Gen X a little bit, because mm-hmm. we're always talking about boomers or Gen Z. But when you are, we talk about being squeezed. We talk about the sandwich generation. And what that means is you have responsibilities for your children, your nieces and nephews. In other words, people younger than you. But you also have responsibilities for maybe your parents, your aunts and uncles, your grandparents, people older than you. And so that responsibility, the pressure, the effort, the energy it takes squeezes you to the point that, you know, the mayonnaise has to come out somewhere, and it's going to impact your work. It's just so interesting. Every one of these, any sort of, so this lack of, and we saw this, especially after COVID, I think mm-hmm. we were hit really hard with lack of reasonable, decent options, both for childcare and for elder care. So what happens? It falls on the family. And when you have, by necessity or by choice, two working parents or a single family home or lots of other different situations, it will affect everything that you do, and it has to get done. So it falls on the family. And in most cases, it falls on women. But what's so interesting is when you look at, I thought this was such an interesting stat, the percentage of full-time workers, and this is all generations, so then we'll go back to Gen X. Percentage of full-time workers managing caregiving, either older, younger, or both, grew by 13% in the last 7 years.
I believe it.
This is clearly because of the lack of quality and affordable elder care and child care.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say our only option is to provide in-home care for either generation, That has to have an effect. You don't mm-hmm. just do that in a vacuum. And now when you combine that with employers saying, well, we're going to do more with less. We're going to lay off people, and we expect everybody else here to pick up the slack, and taking away things like workplace flexibility, time flexibility, you really have the perfect storm, and that has to give in some way. And most people, even though they need their jobs, are going to put their families first. And employers, many employers, let's say, not all, but many employers seem to be blissfully unaware of this. And it is going to come back and bite them in the butt. And it's going to, you know, it's we're already there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because this article, and I know you had called them the sandwich generation. Isn't mm-hmm. Gen X known as the forgotten generation? No,
yeah.
I'm serious. Isn't
yeah.
it? I mean,
true.
Because and to me, I find I don't say that, you know, for, you know, like a joking purpose. I say that because, my God, you talk about feeling like, hello, we are dying over here. I mean, this to me is, these numbers are staggering. And again, we've got Julie Bauke here, our career strategist. Nearly 1 in 4 Generation X workers spend the equivalent of 2 full work days every week on caregiving responsibilities. And to me, I'm wondering, Julie, this is where I think especially your advice would be helpful to employers. I would imagine if you want to keep a really great worker, who also knows that they want to care for mom and dad at home, or they want to be able to make sure they can get home to junior. How do you better support them? How do you not lose a good worker, but also balance knowing that they are caregivers or they have to be at home for whoever that may be?
So, you know, and this is, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but it's when you, the workforce lost 500,000 women in 2025 because they could not possibly manage all that was on their plate. So they had to make a decision somewhere. And so when you look at all these different, the spokes of the wheel of what the engine that keeps our world moving, we need women in the workforce. There aren't enough men. There aren't enough college graduate men. There aren't enough men, period, to take over the full work that needs to be done. And so we need, as organizations, how are you providing opportunities or options for all of your employees to get their work done, be a good employee, measure the right things? If a good employee, if the primary definition of a great employee in your workplace is never shows up a minute past eight, you need to relook at what are you rewarding? What are you incenting? What are you measuring on? And when you say to people, it's amazing, the companies who have said to people, look, you're an adult, here's what we expect, here's what success looks like in this role, and this is the standard we're going to hold you to. There will always be people who take advantage of it, always. But you've got to deal with those people as the exception and not treat everybody with a broad brush, because some of your best employees are going to be people with a lot of responsibilities because they've learned how to manage all of that. But if you as an employer are saying, okay, well, that's great and everything, but it's more important for me to be able to see you sitting at your desk, you're measuring the wrong things. And so I say this over and over again. I think it is the one thing that is so overlooked is you as senior leadership in your organization, you don't have to have all the answers, but you do need to ask your people what would allow them or give them the freedom, the ability to do their job well while managing the rest of their life. What does it look like? It might look like flexibility. It might look like something else. It might look like better resources. It might. So you, I think we get, and we see this all the time. The higher up you get in an organization, the air seems to be thinner, and you just don't understand what it's like not to have a big fat bank account and people to do your work, might be a stay-at-home partner, might be staff. You forget what it's like to be managing all the different pieces of life. And sometimes I guarantee you this, some of your people who come to work with a smile on their face and never seem to be bothered, they're like that duck that's skimming the top of the water but paddling furiously underneath. Mm-hmm. And that is not a sustainable employee relations model. So what if you put together employee teams of people that you trust, who are responsible, who have good ideas, and let them come up with some suggestions to make your place a better place to work? And that's where people go and stay, because not all companies are having this problem.
Our career strategist, Julie Balke, is here. A new report is highlighting Gen X employees. They say they are burned out from caregiving responsibilities, whether that's aging parents at home or a loved one or having kids at home. They need their workplaces to better support them. Nearly one in four Gen X workers spend the equivalent of two full workdays each week on caregiving responsibilities. It creates this need for more conversations like the ones we're having about employee support, workplace flexibility, and long-term workforce planning. So let's talk about this, Julie, in the sense of advice. You kind of highlighted a few different things that I think we should dive into. First and foremost, how important is it that the employer trusts who they employ?
It's that, but it's also understanding that people who work in a warehouse or on a manufacturing floor don't have the same type of flexible options that people who work in the office do. I saw a study or a company who said, okay, the people who work on in the manufacturing floor, they understand they can't work from home. Duh. I mean, this is not a tough concept. But what this one company did was they said, okay, what is it that would make you more likely to stay and to help you do your best job here and take care of your outside responsibilities? And they put a manufacturing team together to come up with some options. And it was some things about choosing and kind of moving the hours around a little bit, but it wasn't anything drastic. But the increase in employee satisfaction was significant. And so I think you have to, as a leader, acknowledge if you run a team of consultants or professional service providers that are like knowledge workers, let's say, that is very different than having a team of people who go on service calls to people's homes or who work in one location. That is that's not big news to any of those folks. So one size fits all to say, well, because you can't have it, nobody can have it, is really, really stupid. I'll just say it, because it ignores the fact that we all work differently and that different jobs require things that are different from each of us. They require different things. And that's okay. Because when you say yes to being a receptionist in person, it's ridiculous to think that you can work from home greeting people. And also, so I think it's finding common sense solutions, involving your people to say, look, I understand everyone's fried. We haven't been able to hire people. What can we do to help you manage, still do a great job, but manage your home life better? What can we do? I'm looking for your ideas. Some humility. It doesn't mean if they come up with five ideas that you have to do any of them. But maybe in those five ideas, you'll find some kernels that really make your place your company a better place to work. Because just squeezing people until they pop is just, and you know, I think about some sort of like AI, head of an AI company said something like, I can't wait till AI takes over people's jobs. AI doesn't call in sick. Like that is so,
that's cringe. I don't love that. I hate that. I hate that. Yeah. Well, in honestly,
you know that thoughts out there though, right?
Yeah, no, but that's so horrible because, you know, I think sometimes we make a mountain out of what I think is an anthill. And here's what I mean by that. Again, like you said, Julie, every job is different. I do understand that. And I can only speak to what's in my lane, right? But I look at even when I took this job on, and at that time, I only had a 9-month-old. Okay, so it's very different than now an 8-year-old. One of the things I value about where I work is that they do, well, first of all, we do pretty frequent check-ins, but we do what's called like yearly check-ins. You know, every single person on staff has a review, everybody, including management. And one of the things that they will ask is, you know, are there any changes in your personal life that would impact, you know, quality of work or, you know, things that whatever. And a couple summers ago, I said, look, my kid is getting older. Camp is insanely expensive. And quite frankly, I'm not asking you for a raise, but I am telling you that I don't want to pay for childcare because I can't afford it. So what can we do here? How do we make this work? What do we do here? And I will say that conversation led to my last few summers have been amazing because I leave right after the show because they look at, like, for example, my job. And again, they do this with everybody, but they're like, okay, well, what do you do after 10 o'clock? When your show is over, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm guest booking, I'm answering emails, I'm taking phone calls. And they're like, can you not do that at home? And I'm like, no, I certainly could. Am I allowed to leave? Because I thought I had to be in the office till 12 o'clock. It's like, well, no, if you could do that stuff from home during the summertime and you could be home with Chase, you should go do that. So I'm like, great. That's what I'm going to do. And it's those little things where you would never know at home that my schedule changes 3 months a year. You would never know it other than the fact that I just told 60,000 people that. But my point being is that's such a small tweak that you would never see a difference in the quality of the show. You would never know, but it is a world of difference and saves me a whole lot of money from putting my kid in another camp or finding a babysitter or what have you. You see what I'm saying? Like, we sometimes are so afraid of, well, what do you mean you got to do some work not in the office? It's silly. And it's archaic and it's
so
dumb.
Silly.
It's so dumb. But it makes me want to stay here more knowing that, hey, this matters to Melissa. Her kid matters to her. So how do we make this work where it's going to work for her? That matters.
And you know what? I'm sure. Do it as a pilot. So do that first summer. Did it work? Try it for 6 months. Did it work? You can pilot things. You don't have to promise. Get your people involved in solutions and agree to pilot it, but put some guardrails around it. And if you have people, like if they figured that you were just sitting by the pool every day and your show was suffering because it wasn't working, certainly they would have changed it back. And I think they have the right to do that. So you can do all of this, but you just have to have a little more trust in your people and be willing to say, yeah, that didn't work, and here's why. You were posting pictures on Instagram of yourself at the beach every day at 11, and your show
lost ratings, or it sounded dull. Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take it away. But God, this sort of, I know what's best for you, even though I cannot even begin to understand what your life is like, is ridiculous.
Well, and it's just a different time, Julie. Like I look at, you know, I look at when my parents had five of us, and God bless them, they had five. It was a different time. I mean, and I say this all the time. I'm like, guys, you could afford taking all five of us to Disney World, for crying out loud, in the 90s. You could do that. 2026, I mean, we're taking out a second mortgage if we want to take our kid to Disney World. Like, and that's one kid. It's just a very different time. So to say what worked in 1996 doesn't work in 2026, and it doesn't mean your workers are lazy. It just means that it's a different time, and we want to be able to give to our kids the way that you did 30 years ago, or we want to be able to be there for our aging parents, but we got to be able to do both, and you got to meet us there or we're going to leave. And that's not a threat.
That's right.
That's kind of a promise, because there's really no other.
Will leave.
Yeah. Yeah. It matters. I don't know. Those have to be conversations. I honestly find those conversations more rewarding than the we'll bump your pay by 2%. Like, listen, keep my, I don't need you to bump my pay. I need you to meet me where I'm at. That's what I think you're hearing. And again, I think what's alarming is you're talking about a generation that is pretty quiet. So that's what alarms me is you've got, you know, I'm a millennial and I feel like I'm a little bit more vocal, but you're Gen X. They're not going to say anything. They're not going to say anything. So you need these types of reports to be like, hello, let's dial in and try to keep these great workers. How do we do
it? That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Totally matters. Totally matters. Julie Balke, always appreciate having these conversations with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Talk to you soon.